Welcome to Souls Harbor's weekly podcast. We believe that God has called us to lead people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, help them grow to be like Jesus, and involve them in reaching lost people. Listen now to this week's message.
Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 25. So I got to come down here for a second. Chris, tell me who your friends are. Don't make them stand up or do anything really weird or embarrassing, okay? High Faith. High Faith's family back there. Nice to see you. And this is Kaylee. And this is Taylor. So are you three sisters, friends, cousins, friends? All right. Hey, welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad to have you this morning. I will promise not to try to point you out or embarrass you any further for the rest of the day. How's that? Smile at me, guys. You love me? It's like, no, I don't know. Fred, it's good to have you with us this morning. I met Fred just before service. Since I did that to them, I'm going to shake your hand as well. I always like to meet our students. Really, I like to meet our students on Wednesday night when I'm in blue jeans and a t-shirt instead of dressed up on a Sunday morning, because it's just a lot more normal and comfortable, right? Right, Chris? Yeah. But we are glad to have you guys here today. Come back on Wednesday. And I'll be in blue jeans, if that matters. Although they make fun of me regularly for it. They told me 3 weeks ago I had a sweatshirt. It was a sweatshirt, but they told me it looked like Mr. Rogers. Do you guys even know who Mr. Rogers is? Oh, you do? That was Pastor Jake pulled that one off on me. Yeah, he's old. He knows who Mr. Rogers is. This morning, if you have your Bible, Proverbs chapter 25. I started a series a few weeks ago entitled Proverbs, Promises, and Principles. And I talked that first week about NCIS. I love the original, not so much the spinoffs, but I love NCIS. And those of you that are NCIS fans know that Gibbs, who's the star of that show, has his rules of life. There's like 46 of them. And they're such a big deal that if you actually go out and Google Gibbs' rules of life, you can actually find them written down. There's t-shirts with them on, all kinds of crazy things. And I mentioned one of them was always have a pocket knife with you. And I mentioned that I had lost my pocket knife, and somebody actually, thank you, bought me a pocket knife, which I have with me by the way this morning. So if I need to whittle a stick, or cut a string, or open a box for my wife, I'm good to go. Appreciate that very much. So the first week I preached this, and we're talking about Proverbs rules, not Gibbs rules, but one of the rules we find in Proverbs is this. Folks, if we're going to be followers of Christ, then let's be all in. God's not about halfway. Let's be all in. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart. Y'all remember that? Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul. Be all in. And that's the first rule that we really ought to live this Christian walk, this thing of following Jesus with. Be all in. 2 weeks ago, I preached the second one in the series, and it was Mother's Day, so it was kind of fun, and it was kind of appropriate, because rule number two is this. Heroes are made, they're not born. Heroes are not born, they're made. And there's a lot of moms in this room this morning that are heroes. My mom, in my book, is a hero. But it pays. We always preach the Proverbs 31, and I touched on Proverbs 31. If you've been in church very long, you know Proverbs 31. It's the ideal woman. And I was sharing that, you know what, that was the description of a wife and a mom written by the mom of a prince. So it's like, it'd be like, Michael, it would be like your mom writing down the list of everything she wanted in a wife that you were going to marry someday. It'd be crazy, unreasonable, over the top, right? You'd never date, ever. Ever, if you had to live up to that list. And Proverbs 31 is the ideal woman, but the thing is, you're not born the ideal woman, you become the ideal woman. Heroes are not born, they're made, and it applies to all of us, not just moms, although moms are incredible heroes. But you know, the way we become heroes is we determine every day, I'm going to become a little better, a little more like Jesus. So the second rule that we live by is heroes, and realize heroes are not born, they're made. Well, this morning I want to take the passage of Proverbs 25:28, and I'm going to pick this up, and we're going to look at a third rule today. So if you've got your Bible there, or your Bible app, however you choose to do this. I've got an app. Follow along with me. It's just real short. Let me just read this. A man or woman, a person without self-control, is like a city broken into and left without walls. Let me read that again. A man without or a woman without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Wow, that's profound. Y'all are looking at me like you're crazy. How many think that's profound? Good for you. Good for you. Well, let's dig into it a little bit, but let's pray first, and then we're going to see. It actually is pretty profound. God's Word has a way of being that way. Father, thank you for this day. I pray this morning that you would take this message you've put in my heart, you've been working on me for a week with, and God, help me to get out of the way and communicate it today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. To really appreciate how profound this verse is, we've got to do something. We've got to back up just a little bit, and we've got to understand what he's saying there. How many of you came from Mooresville this morning? How many came from Plainfield? How about Avon? Decatur. Good for you. Indianapolis. Any Indy residents here today? No? Monrovia. I got Mooresville, but Mooresville again? Okay. What am I missing? Martinsville, Canby, Danville, yeah. Did you know there was Brownsburg? Are you guys Brownsburg or Danville? Anyway, over that way. Did you know there's a little town called Wilbur? I found Wilbur the other day. You did? A couple of you did. I'll bet Di did. I found Wilbur the other day. It was kind of scary. The guy that lived there, I went out to see him. He's like, "You feel like you're in imminence?" I said, "Well, I guess." I had to go out there and get some work done on a motorcycle. It's a little bitty town. So when you all left your town of, where'd you guys come from? Avon? So when you left your town, did you have to pass through a wall to get out? Anybody? No? Just got in your car? Anybody ride their bicycle this morning? No? Okay, so you got in your car and you took off and you drove. Well, here's the thing about America. We're the land of the free, and we don't really appreciate this, but we really don't have walls around any of our towns or any of our cities, do we? But when this passage was written, and we got to understand a little bit about the ancient Near East, and the guy that wrote that verse, what he was talking about when he says, a man without self-control or self-discipline is like a wall, like a city that's walls are broken down. We got to understand a little bit about his times and his days. And the reality is, in the days that this dude lived, every city that was safe had a wall built around it. And the bigger and the thicker and the stronger and the taller the wall, the better. Because what we miss, and because we live in America and we are so blessed, is that it's a dangerous world out there. And the fact of the matter is, if you lived in those days and you lived in, just say, Jerusalem, depending on what time period you lived in, there could be Egyptians. The Egyptian army quite likely would march on you. The Babylonian army at different times. There might have been the Assyrian army at one time or another. Alexander the Great, any of you ever hear this guy? The Greek general, there was a time when his generals would have marched on you. The Roman army, there it was a dangerous world out there. And when he talks about walls around the city, he's laying out something that the reality that he lived in was, if you wanted to be safe, you had walls. Probably the closest thing I ever had to that experience was a bunch of years ago, actually decades ago now, the first time I left the United States of America, I went to the country of Peru in South America, and I went to the city of Lima. And one of the unique things about Lima, and really it's not unique other than for an American, because it's kind of the way it is most places in the world, but you get into the city and every single property, now the city didn't have a wall, but every single property in the city had a wall built around it. And if you were rich, you not only had a wall, but you had a guard. And if you were really rich, you not only had a guard at the gate, but you had an armed guard at the gate. So me as an American walking and driving, coming into Lima, Peru, I'm like, wow. They had guys standing at the intersections when there were no stoplights. It's no joke. They had police officers directing traffic. These guys stood there, had bulletproof vests. No joke. They had bulletproof vests and carried shotguns to direct traffic. I'm like, I ain't speeding in this country. Y'all are crazy. Every single building, every single property had walls around them, and if you got up high and looked down on the walls, they then either put barbed wire or they would break glass, they would put whatever they could to keep people from coming over those walls because it was dangerous. Now, if we go back and look at that passage again, we can make some connections here that are really important. A man without self-control, a man without self-discipline is like a city broken into and left without walls. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Y'all know that the Western world, America, we're becoming more and more a country that lives by the motto, if it feels good, do it. Y'all know that, right? If it feels good, do it, whatever it is. We kind of live by this idea that, man, I ought to be able to do anything I want to do, say anything I want to say, feel anything I want to feel, think anything I want to think, and nobody really ought to tell me any different. That's really the world we live in, isn't it? You guys ever get that? You ever feel that way? Sometimes. And you know, there's something to be said for freedom of speech. There's something to be said for freedom of religion. There's something to be said for the freedoms that we do have. But there's always a balance in these things. And if we can make the connect back to the walls, can you imagine somebody in the city of Jerusalem 3,000 or 4,000 years ago? They're standing on the wall looking outside. And can you imagine somebody outside the wall? If this is my wall, if you can imagine this, do you think somebody was standing outside the wall saying, look at you guys in the wall. You guys, you got no freedom. You've got to live within the confines of that wall. You can't do what you want to do. You can't go where you want to go. I'm so much better off. Because that's kind of the way we live today, at least a big portion of the Western culture. They look at those of us that follow Christ who are self-disciplined, do have self-control, and do have boundaries, because the thing about it is when I chose to follow Christ, Christ laid down some boundaries for me. And there are those that look at us that are followers of Christ and they're like, look at you guys in there, you're crazy. You can't do the things you want to do. You can't say what you want to say. You can't go where you want to go. Look at all the fun stuff that I can do out here, but you can't do because you choose to be a follower of Christ. You ever run into that? There was a big portion of my life I wouldn't become a Christian, because I knew if I became a Christian, there were things that God was going to deal with me about, and I was just going to have to give up, and I wasn't ready to give them up. It's kind of dumb. Where I was, it was. So if you can imagine going back 3,000 years and the guy standing outside of the walls of Jerusalem, knowing that the Assyrians are coming, the Babylonians are coming, the Egyptians are coming, somebody's coming. Do you know what he was screaming? Absolutely. This guy standing outside of Jerusalem, this guy standing out that he's talking about there, this guy standing outside the city with the walls, he wasn't out there making fun of them. He wasn't out there screaming at them. He wasn't out there mocking them. He wasn't out there yelling at them. He was out there saying to them, you guys, let me in. I want in, because the walls weren't the thing that stole their freedom. The walls were the thing that kept them safe. He's like, let me in, let me in, let me in, because he knew if he stayed outside the walls, there was going to be consequences. And today in our Western culture, where we've moved so far to freedom, and thank God for freedom, I'm not against free speech. I'm not. In fact, I'm probably more for it than many. Even speech that offends me. More times than not, I'm going to say, that's your thing, just... I don't want to have to listen to it. Because I know if I restrict their free speech, then they're going to turn around and restrict my free speech. But what I'm talking about this morning, what I'm talking about is when I made the decision, Dynasty, when I made the decision that, yeah, I'm going to talk to you because you're looking at me. She'll never look at me again. When I made the decision I'm going to be a follower of Christ, I knew that Christ, because Christ loves me, is going to lay some boundaries around me. But here's the thing we struggle with. When God begins to put down boundaries and say, you know what, be self-controlled, be self-disciplined, live within these boundaries, there's some things we got to understand about God and His boundaries. They're not meant to hurt me or take away my fun or destroy my life. They're meant to keep me safe. So Michael looked at me, so I'll talk to Michael. So Michael, when I chose to be a follower of Christ and I begin to realize what these boundaries are, I don't stand inside these boundaries. I mean, there may be people out there saying, "You Christian, what's the matter with you? You ought to be able to, you ought to come outside the boundaries with me and we'll have some real fun because there's freedom out here." But me, as somebody that's chosen to follow Christ, realizes that when God puts boundaries around my life, He does it for a reason. And it's because He loves me. And that's the first thing we got to realize when it comes to God. God's boundaries are done because He loves us. Because some of us got this mentality, all right? You guys, you hear me talk about my dog Binks regularly. I think I've actually broke out a picture of my dog because I know you guys don't believe me about this. But this, and I say my dog, he's not my dog. I don't want this dog. This is my wife's dog, okay? This is my wife's dog Binks. And as I've told you before, he has a diaper, and you can see his diaper right there. He's not dead. He is alive. I checked. He was moving when I left home. Some of us have, and you notice around his neck, you see what's around his neck there, that black collar? That is a vibration shock collar, and I have the controller. Now, I'm pretty sure it won't reach the 4 or 5 miles to my house. Oh, that would be interesting. Some of us see God like this. Some of us see God as this mean guy that is up in heaven with the zapper in his hand, and he's standing there with a big smile on his face just waiting. Ooh, they're getting close. They're getting close. There they go. Bam, got them. My oldest son, who's not here this morning, Matt, they decided to go on vacation over Memorial Day too and didn't take me. One of the kids, I think it was Emmy. I think she was 3 at the time. They got a shock collar for their dog to train their dog. And she found out what it did. Now, she's 3, so give her a little bit of grace, okay? But she liked it. And he's like, "I had to take that thing away from her because she would get that shock collar in her hand and she'd just chase that dog around. Bzz, 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 bzz." She thought it was hilarious at 3 years old. It kind of scares me what she's going to grow up and be someday. Some of us see God that way, right? Caitlin, God, He's just waiting for you to step just out of line because He wants to zap you. I asked these guys coming in this morning on the van, I said, "Hey, would you guys put that shock collar on if I brought it?" And I didn't bring it. I wish I would have now, because they're like, "Oh yeah, Pastor Barry, we'd put it on." I said, "Yeah, that'd be fun." Guys, can I tell you this morning? God's not a God with a zapper. God takes no pleasure. It's not like He's standing up there just waiting for us to do wrong so He can stick it to us. That's not who God is. God places boundaries around us for the same reason that the people in the ancient Near East and the Old Testament put walls around their city, because God knows that there's a lot of really messed up stuff out there. And if we stay within the boundaries, we'll be safe. But if we get outside of them, it'll cause us a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of hurt, a lot of heartache. God's not about this. We had Nathan Joris came and stayed with us last week, Master's Commission Director, and several of his guys. And Nathan's telling us they've just bought a house not too long ago. They've got a little dog, and they've got one of those invisible fences. Any of you have the invisible fence where, you know, you put the collar on the dog, and if you get close to the boundary, and it begins to give you a little bit of a tickle, and you get a little closer, and it gives you a little bit more of a tickle, and you get a little closer, and it gives you a zap, and you get a little closer, and it really zaps you. You know what I'm talking about? And he's like, "Yeah, we got one of those for our dog." And our dog, he's bragging on his dog. He not only has the most beautiful baby in the whole world — I was teasing him about that later because he kept saying that, and I know he means it in all honesty — he said, "Not only do I have the most beautiful baby, but I got the smartest dog." He said, "Because my dog learned that, you know, this is the boundary, and this is as far as I'm supposed to go. And he's learned that if you walk up to that boundary, you can get to right to this point. But and if you go any further, you're gonna get zapped, and he won't go any further." He learned. But then he's telling me about his dad. He's like, "My dad's got the dumbest dog in the whole world." And I argued with him that, because I'm not sure about what I don't have the dumbest dog in the whole world, but that's a whole different story altogether. He said, "Here's the deal with my dad. Okay, my dad's dog, my dad has got the same deal, the same invisible fence, but my dad's dog has no clue where the line is. And my dad's dog will walk up to the line and get zapped and walk away and turn around a little bit later and come back and get zapped again. He doesn't figure it out. And then he said, the thing about my dad's dog is, my dad's dog gets to the place where he sees a squirrel or he gets the scent of something beyond the invisible fence, and he will go busting through that fence as hard as he can, and he actually goes through the thing so fast, so hard, that it zaps him. I mean, he's just twitching all over the place, but he breaks on through to the other side and just keeps going. He said, but what's hilarious is the dog gets hungry and decides that he wants to come back home. And when he comes back, you get zapped coming in as well as going out. So he'll stand just outside the boundary because he's smart enough not to do it going back in. He'll stand just outside the boundary and he just dances all over the place. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you this morning, sometimes we as followers of Christ, we're not that much different than those pets, because we have never taken the time to find out where and what are God's boundaries. We don't know, and this is the way we live life. And we think that it's God up there wanting to zap us because we've done something terrible or whatever. He just didn't like it or we displeased him. But the reality is this. We have never learned God's boundaries for how we ought to think, how we ought to act, how we ought to talk, how we ought to feel. We've never learned God's healthy boundaries that are there to keep us safe. And we just go through life with this being our mindset. You guys ready for this? You guys ready for this? You ready for this, Lucas? We go through life like this, all right? We know that God loves us, and you get that, right? God loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves us, okay? We go through life just feeling happy because our sins are forgiven, Jesus loves us, which is absolutely true, but we've never learned the boundaries, and we're like Nathan's dog's dad. We go through life, Jesus loves me, life is good, Jesus loves me, life is good, Jesus loves me, life is good. Everything should be roses and puppy dogs and ice cream, I don't know. But then there comes a day in our life where all of a sudden we get zapped because we never learned where the boundaries were. And too often this is what happens. We turn around and look at God and say, what? Because we think God is in heaven with the zapper zapping us. And can I tell you this morning, folks, God puts the boundaries out there, and it isn't God that causes us to get zapped. It's simply the reality that we've never taken the time to learn where God's boundaries are, and we unknowingly, naively, we walk up on them, and it isn't God that zaps us, but it's life. Sometimes it's the devil. Most of the time, the devil doesn't even have to get involved because we just do things that are crazy, and we don't even know they're crazy. Because we've never learned God's boundaries. Can I tell you this morning, folks? And can I tell you guys that are new to this whole Jesus thing? Because I know a bunch of you guys, you made a decision for Christ, and a bunch of our youth group in the last 2 weeks, and really the last 2 months, a bunch of teenagers, a bunch of our students have made a decision to follow Christ, which is awesome, which is terrific. But can I say to this whole church, guys, let's make the decision that we're not going to be like Nathan's dad's dog and wander aimlessly into a mess because we never learn boundaries. Say, Pastor Barry, that's awesome. Great. Lucas, say, Pastor Barry, that's awesome. That's great. Thanks, man. I appreciate the support. Even if I put the words in your mouth, right? Say, Pastor Barry, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to tell you two ways that we as followers of Christ do that. Okay? Because here's the third rule: know and respect God's boundaries. That's the third rule. And there's two things we can do that will pull that off. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Paul wrote this letter to, Paul wrote this letter to a young guy probably about your age that had become a follower of Christ. He's like, man, yeah, that Timothy guy, I need to give him some help because he's still figuring this out, and I want to give him some boundaries. And this is what Paul told Timothy and what I'm going to tell you this morning, Lucas and Chris, since you're sitting beside him, I'll tell you that as well. And you two, Dynasty. Yeah, I know. I told you. I'm going to talk to you for a second as well. And Michael, you guys ready for this? You guys ready? You guys know. Let me just say this, okay? You guys live in the coolest day that have probably ever existed in the history of mankind. I know Chris is like, what? Seriously? No. Seriously, I was watching an old movie last week. I mean, old, like an '80s movie or something. Oh no, I know what it was. It was a new show but they were, it was a time thing, and they were going back to the 80s, and it brought back this memory, because this dude's walking down, no joke, he's walking down the sidewalk, and he's got a phone, and guys, he's got a wireless cell phone in his hand, and it's this long. You see if any of you guys remember this. It was this long, and it was this big around. It was like a brick. He's got this thing on his, he's walking down the, okay? That was the day that was the cutting edge technology when I was in high school. How many of you remember that? And this, so this guy's got this big old monster thing on his ear, and the phone rings, and then there's another, because this guy's really rich, there's another phone that rings, and he turns around, and he's got a secretary, office admin, somebody, a helper. She's walking along behind him, and she's carrying a second phone that's a second brick that's attached to a second phone number. So he hands her this big old monster phone, and he takes the other one, and he answers that. You guys live in the coolest day that ever was, because you can not. This is a big phone. His phone, you know what his phone would do? Voice. That's it. I know what, really? That's all his phone would do. You could talk on it. That was it. You couldn't text. You couldn't surf the net. You couldn't Google. You couldn't go to YouTube. There was no such thing as video. All you could, you guys, I know this is going to blow your mind. All you could do with the phone was talk on it. Who knew? You guys live in the coolest day that ever existed, because you've got in, how many of you guys have cell phones? Let me see. How many of you guys got phones? Hold them up real high. Caitlin, you don't got a phone? Oh, it's in your bag. Okay, all right. Do you know that on your phone you can actually have books? You guys knew that, right? Okay. Do you know that you can actually have the book, the Bible, on your phone? Did you know that? How many of you guys got the Bible on your phone? Nobody? Nobody? So how many of you guys, let's ask, how many of you guys like to read? Anybody like to read? How many of you hate to read? How many of you would rather take a beating with a stick than read a book? Be honest. Okay. Here's how cool the day we live in is. If you don't like to read, if you do like to read, you can actually have the Bible. See that? That's actually words there, Lucas. You can have the Bible on your phone. Do you know, dude, that you cannot, you know, you can have the King James, the English Standard Version, the New Reserved Revised Version. You can have like 50,000 versions of the Bible on there. You can have the Message. You can have the NLV. Right? If you like to read. But some of you that don't, who doesn't like to read, who would rather take a beating than read? Okay. How about back here? How many of you would rather take a beating? Do you realize, do you understand that you can have the Word of God on your phone, in your pocket, 24 hours a day, and if you're like me and my wife, it sits on your nightstand by your bed. You're never more than 3 feet from your phone. You can have it written, but not only that, you can actually have your phone read the Bible to you. This is the day we live. And we're probably the most uninformed biblically people that ever walked the earth. Am I right? And this is what God's word says. Lucas, let me come back to you again. This is what Paul told Timothy, this young guy trying to figure out this whole Jesus thing. This is what he said. He said, look, all scripture, the whole Bible, the whole thing, all scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, Lucas, do you want to be a man of God? All right, good answer. Good answer when you get put on the spot on the first row in church in front of everybody. Good answer. All right. For correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Do you know what that says, Lucas? It says, and if you aren't sure and don't believe me, you can actually have your phone read this to you, so just FYI. It says, dude, if you will read the Bible or let your phone read the Bible to you on a regular basis, it will show you, it will teach you, it will help you figure out where those boundaries are. And you can go through your life not having to go through the pain and the suffering that others do, because you're going to realize, oh man, yeah, I see that coming. I know if I go any further, I'm going to get zapped, because life's going to kick me in the pants. It's just going to happen. And you can, because God has given you boundaries, because God loves you. Right? You guys live in the coolest day that ever lived. You do. There's another thing. I said I wish God text, and I really do. But there is another aspect to this besides reading God's word, because the fact is, you guys aren't going to do it, are you? Will you do it, Lucas? You'll download the Bible. You're the man. Awesome. Do that. And will you let it read to you? Will you let it read to you? Or will you actually read it yourself? Because either way works. If you know how. Dude, by the time you were 3, you knew more about these things than I do at 51. All right? You'll figure it out. You're a smart guy. But there is another side to this. Turn with me to John chapter 14 this morning. Let me just read you another passage here. John 14. And verse 15. This is what Jesus said. Because Jesus knew he was out of here. He was going. He was going to be gone. He said, if you... let me jump down just one more. Verse 16. And he said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. And let me just read you a couple more verses that tie into that. Jump over to verse 28, same chapter, and listen to what he said. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. You guys all understand this, right? Listen, guys. How many of you have made a decision, I'm going to be a follower of Christ? Just be honest. If you haven't, that's fine. You don't feel obligated to raise your hand. I just need to be honest. When you made the decision you're going to be a follower of Christ, God the Holy Spirit came and began to live inside of you. You understand that? Listen, this thing of being a Christian is more than just, all right, I'm going to follow my grandma's rules. When I became a Christian, God Himself, the Holy Spirit, came and started to live inside of me. That's why if you're a follower of Christ and we begin to worship God and praise God, we feel the presence of God. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, that's why Teresa came and was talking this morning about God speaking to her. I hadn't heard that story before. I've not had a chance to really specifically ask her about that story. But my guess is she probably didn't hear an audible voice in her room saying, and I doubt she got a text, and I doubt it came through on Facebook, but God spoke to her with an inaudible voice, and because the Holy Spirit lives within her, right? So here's the way it works, Caitlin, okay? You're living your life for Jesus. You've made a decision. I'm all in for Jesus. I'm going to walk this thing. I'm going to walk this walk. And all of a sudden, you start moving towards a certain thing or a certain action or a certain thought or a certain relationship or a certain decision. And all of a sudden, something just doesn't feel right. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you saying, Caitlin, no, that's not a good move. How many of you ever had that experience? You just get pulled back on something, and you don't really know why. You don't really get a text. You don't really hear an audible voice, but it's the Holy Spirit living inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit living inside of you, pulling you back. And we as God's people, folks, this morning, we've got to come to know and to respect God's boundaries. That's rule number 3. Know and respect God's boundaries. And the way we do that is, first of all, we make it a habit to read God's Word regularly. We come to understand it. We come to know it. Shh, listen, girls. You're fine. Chris, they're pointing their finger at you. They're throwing you right under the bus. Way to go. Listen. Don't make me break out my shock collar. You're like, what? But the second thing is, Caitlin, the second thing is we learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Don, how long have you been following Christ now? A lot of years. The longer you follow, do you learn to hear His voice better the longer you follow? And you know, here's the thing. How many of you have kids? How many of your kids somewhere along the way learned to tune you out? You could be from here to here saying, Jer, I want you to go. And they have, exactly. What did you say? Yeah. Your kids ever do that? Do you know, folks, we do that to God sometimes? Because just like Dawn learned to hear the voice of God, the reality is if we tune God out, eventually we learn to not hear the voice. And that's fine. We can make that choice. We can make that decision. But guys, hear this. You guys hear this on the front row, okay? Because you guys, You guys that know me know I care about you. You can choose to follow Jesus and tune him out, or you can choose to follow Jesus and tune him in. But if you choose to tune him out, and listen, we've had these conversations in youth group before, and we've had these conversations in the sanctuary before, because you guys know people that their lives have, they've lived a train wreck. You guys, you know people. You've got friends. Sometimes we've got family have lived train wrecks. Am I right? And we learn to tune Jesus out, and the Holy Spirit's screaming at us. He's trying to stop us. He's trying to stop. Don't go there. And we just blindly go, and the Word of God is out there for us, trying to guide us and direct us, and we just ignore it. And get this, guys, get this. If you choose to make that decision, whether you're a student, a teenager, or an adult, if you choose to make that decision, there will come a day, there will come a day where you're going to cross a line and life is going to smack you in the face. Can I give you an illustration? Saddest, worst example that I know firsthand I saw happen. And there's more than one way that God puts boundaries in our lives, but this was some choices that were made. I watched a family walk through this. They lived this mindset. I should be free to do anything I want to do. I should be free to partake in any behavior I want to participate in. And I watched them. For them, and I'm not picking on people that choose to live this life. I'm not trying to. I'm just telling you the story that I watched lived out in front of me. For them, it was weed. That was their thing. This couple, married couple, that was their thing. And they knew God had put some boundaries out there and said, look, let nothing control your life. Nothing addicts you. But that was their choice. They wanted to live that life, and they wanted to run with those friends, and they had a great time with it, and weed was their deal. Until one day they showed up at the party, and it wasn't weed that was there, it was meth. And that became their deal. And this is the life I watched them live. This is where I watched them go. I watched them make the decision because they knew they had made a choice to follow Christ, but they decided they were going to be able to live out the walls and control it. They could live outside the walls and the boundaries and be okay. They had self-control. They didn't need... And I watched the meth grab their lives, and I watched them come to the place where they would give their last dollar, steal money from family, literally, to get that next shot, that next hit. And I watched them come to the place they began to make it in their own house. And I watched them come to the place where the police finally found out and came and arrested them. And I watched them spend year upon year upon year upon year upon year upon year in prison while their two babies grew up without them. So we can take the boundaries lightly and we can say whatever, but guys, I'm telling you, listen, folks, you guys have seen people live train wrecks. Some of you deal with the pain of train wrecks every day. Somebody else lived. God doesn't throw those boundaries out there just to make our life miserable. He throws them out there because he knows what's on the other side, and it's brutal, and it's destructive, and it's painful. And it not only hurts you, but it hurts your kids. And it not only hurts your kids, but it'll hurt your grandkids. And it will destroy your life. What are those boundaries? I could spend a lot of time on it this morning, and I'm not going to, but let me just tell you a couple things. There's mental boundaries. Where will I let my mind wander? Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says this, and this is just one example, and this is why it's important we read God's Word. Jesus says, look, the world says, they used to say that if you commit adultery, you committed sin. He says, I'm telling you that if you just look at a woman and lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. I will tell you, man, you need to hear this one. Because you can't turn on the TV and not have something in front of your eyes to tempt you. You can't walk down the street and not have something in front of your eyes to tempt you. You can't go to work and not have someone in front of your eyes to tempt you. There is no place in this country you can go and not be tempted. This is the world we live in. You can be angry with it. You can push against it. You can say, build my walls high and let nobody in. But that's not a reality. What is a reality is God said the boundary is this. You have no business watching that woman walk away. Unless she's your wife. Because at the moment that she walks by you and you turn around to take that second look, Jesus said, you just committed adultery in your heart. You just crossed a boundary in your mind that you should have never crossed. The moment you put that DVR on rewind and you run it back because you need to see that scene one more time or you want to see that scene one more time, you just crossed a line. You just crossed a boundary in your mind that God's Word says don't do it. Because it will destroy you. I could talk about emotional boundaries. 1 Corinthians gives us this. It says, look, y'all, don't be unequally yoked. Now we think yoked, I don't even know what that means. That's what I get out of my egg in the morning, right? What he's talking about is, come here, Jer. In the days Jesus walked, turn around beside me. They would put two oxen side by side, shoulder to shoulder. And oxen can be stubborn sometimes. And this one would want to go that way and that one would want to go that way. So what they would do is they made what they called a yoke. It was a piece of wood that went across both of their necks and they fastened it on so they had no choice but to go the same direction and walk side by side. And Jesus says, don't be unequally yoked. In other words, don't yoke yourself in a relationship. You guys listen to this. You guys catch this one, okay? All right? Because I've watched this destroy so many of my friends that are in high school. I've watched this happen. He says, don't put yourself in a relationship with somebody that's not following Christ, because here's what will happen. I've watched this happen. They will want to go that way. They will want to do those things. They will want to live that life. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit's pulling you to go this way and do this thing and live this life. And you can say, I'm going to be strong enough to pull them along, but I'm just going to tell you, with 30-some years of pastoring, there's been very, 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 very few instances where the follower of Christ was the one that led the way. Because usually what happens is they go that way and they pull you with them. I could take you right now to places, thank you, Jer. I could take you right now to places, moments, altars in various churches, and I could take you to cities, and I could give you names of people that I've watched come to the altar and give their life to Jesus. I could take you to the place, usually it's young girls, it's teenagers, but I've watched it with women as well who come and I'm surrendering my life to Jesus, and I've watched the presence of God just all over them, and I've watched their lives radically change, and then a week later or a month later or a year later, some young man walks into their lives and looks them in the eyes and says, oh baby, you're beautiful. Thank you. I can do this with you because my wife will never feel threatened. And they look them in the eyes and say, you're beautiful. And all of a sudden, they're yoked to that young man or that man. Pretty soon, Jesus doesn't really matter all that much. You see, there's boundaries. And if I could talk to you guys for just a second again, those of you that have decided recently you're going to follow Christ, I'm saying make the decision that when you step into a relationship, first thing you need to ask Caitlin when that guy looks you in the eyes and says, Caitlin, you're beautiful, you need to say, tell me about Jesus. I'm serious. Okay, maybe that's not the way to put it, but girl, I'm serious. And if you don't want to ask him, tell him, come talk to me. He's like, yeah, right. Because guys, those relationships will destroy you. Jesus puts the boundaries down there. We could talk about physical boundaries, and I already talked about those a little bit, and addictive choices and how they destroy. Can I preach to the church for just a minute? I know I spent a bunch of time talking to these guys this morning. I hope you guys are okay with that. If you're not, you can tell me later and I'll pray for you. But can I just talk about spiritual boundaries for a minute? Y'all have been saved for a long time. You know this. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Be faithful. Look, if the only food you ever get is what Pastor Barry gives you, you're going to live a very malnourished life. That's just the truth. If the only word you ever get is what I give you, I mean, can you imagine The only person in my life that I know that forgets to eat is my wife. That's totally incomprehensible to me, but she forgets to eat. She told me yesterday we were getting ready to go somewhere, 11 o'clock. She's like, oh yeah, I forgot to eat breakfast. I'm like, what? That's like forgetting to breathe. But she does. But can you imagine only eating one meal a week? How's it going to work for you? Greg, how's it going to work for you? You get one meal a week on Sunday, that's it. Other than that, you just got to fast the rest of the week. You're going to wear down to 80 pounds quick. It's going to be brutal. But spiritually, we think, you know what? I'll come get fed by Pastor Barry and it's all good. But then we don't even come to the house of God on a regular basis to get that fed. And God's word says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, not because you need me to feed you, but because we are the body of Christ and we need to be a family, and family spends time together regularly. One of the things that helps us, and we got to understand, is this thing of self-discipline and self-control. For the follower of Christ, it's not just a thing of self. We've got the Holy Spirit to help. I've already talked about that. But how many of you know what my favorite food in the whole world is? Okay, I thought so. I've preached that a time or two. So here's the way my evenings go. Because I love ice cream, and I could easily give myself up to way too much ice cream. My right hand says, enjoy that bowl. But I've got a left hand. And my left hand has to do something like this after that first half cup bowl is gone. And my right hand goes for another. My left hand has to. God's word tells us in 1 Corinthians, we are the body of Christ. Can I just be real direct this morning for a minute? Some of you struggle with stuff. Some of you guys here, you struggle with where your eyes wander. Some of you ladies here, you struggle with emotional attraction to men. Some of you struggle with addictive behavior. Say, Pastor Barry, who's been talking to you? Nobody. God, but that's not what this is about. This is about talking to a crowd this size. It's just a fairly certain reality that we all struggle with stuff. I struggle with ice cream. And yeah, I struggle with other things too. Ice cream's just safe to talk about. But here's my point. Get this, okay? Just like with my ice cream, the thing that keeps me from abusing my ice cream, the thing that keeps me from doing what I shouldn't do and eating too much is, I've got a left hand to keep an eye on my right hand. And we are the body of Christ. And that means, Pastor Jer, since you're in the front row and you're on staff, I'll talk to you. That means that you and I are part of the same body. And if there's places in your life where you need a left hand to say, hold your hand out, to say, stop, that's not right, you don't want to go there, then you need to have somebody in your life that can do that. What I'm telling you guys this morning is some of you have been struggling with addictions, and you've been struggling with things, and you've been struggling with your mind, and you've been struggling with stuff your whole life, and you've never got victory over it. And the reason you've never got victory over it is because you've never been able to bring yourself to a place to humble yourself, to go to another person who's a part of the body of Christ and say, look, this is what I'm struggling with. Will you help me? Because we all want to do the Sunday facade. We want to put on our happy face. We want to put on our Jesus face. We want to put on our come to church clothes. And we want to come and be all spiritual. And we got it all together. And the reality is we live life in pain and suffering, constantly pushing on those boundaries, constantly being less than God called us to be, because we're never willing to humble ourselves and say, listen, my friend, I need you to keep this in confidence, but I've got to have somebody in my life that I can have be the left hand and my right hand. That's why you all need to come to the house of God on a regular basis. Not just to hear me preach, although I appreciate you coming and letting me preach, but you need one another. God says, I put things in place to keep you safe. You just got to do them. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ, each other, all those things. You're coming. Play for us. This is the altar call this morning. Pastor Jer here in a moment is going to begin to lead us in worship. It's about 10 minutes to 12, so we got a little bit of time. We won't keep you real long, but can we just give God an opportunity to do something this morning? Look, I know in an hour and a half, all of you that are blessed are going to be somewhere elbow deep in barbecue chicken. That's my plan. Can we just give God? You all could say hallelujah, amen. But can we just give God 10 minutes to maybe work on somebody's heart? Because here's the thing. Here's the altar call. As I prayed this morning, I'm like, God, where do you want me to take this? Just a couple challenges. The first one is this. And maybe it's for this front row, but not just this front row. Don't sacrifice a lifetime of freedom for a moment of pleasure. Right? Don't sacrifice a lifetime of freedom for a moment of pleasure. Don't do it. I know the devil sits on your shoulder and tells you how much fun it'll be and you can't walk away and you can't, but I'm telling you, don't do it. And the second one is this, if you've already sacrificed real freedom for false freedom, then let God help you. Let others help you. I've made this offer to more than one man in this church, more than one person in this church. Look, I can't be everybody's mentor. I can't be everybody's coach. I could be your pastor. But if you need to talk to somebody, we'll go have breakfast. We'll go have lunch. We'll go drink coffee. We'll meet on a Saturday. We can meet in my office. We'll go to Steak and Shake. Whatever. And let's begin to be honest with one another. And I believe this morning God wants to set some people free in this room. Maybe it's not that God wants to set you free this morning. Maybe there's somebody in this room simply that life and the world and junk is pulling at you and you're constantly being pulled toward those boundaries, and the Holy Spirit this morning is saying, you know what? It's time for you to plant your feet on the ground and say, I am going to follow Jesus Christ. I am going to follow Him. I'm going to live inside His boundaries because I know it's best. I know it's healthiest. I know it's safest. I know it's the best hope for me and my family someday to have joy and peace, and I'm going to plant my feet inside of His boundaries, and I'm going to realize there's incredible freedom there, and I'm going to live there. Maybe this morning you've not crossed the boundaries. Maybe this morning you're being pulled toward them, and you simply say, today, I'm planting my feet. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. Here's the altar call. Jer's going to begin to lead us in worship. Jer, whatever you want to take us to this morning, take us back to something we already sang is fine. Kim, bring the lights down for us. Would you do that for just a minute? This is the altar call. This is the moment. This is the moment where you can choose to respond if you will. This is the moment where the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to your heart. This is the moment where God's trying to get your attention. This is the moment where God's trying to say, look, I don't text, but this is the way I'm dealing with you. I don't text, but I want you to hear me this morning. This is the moment you can respond. And as Pastor Jer begins to lead us in worship this morning, if God's pulling on your heart, plant your feet or get help to come back. Would you step out of your seat? Would you have the boldness, the courage, the humility, the transparency to step out of your seat and come to this altar and find a place and bow a knee? I don't care if you're a student up here in the front. I don't care if you're an adult in the back. I don't care where you are this morning. Will you please respond to God and let Him begin to do a work? I'm not going to stick a microphone under your face. I'm not looking for you to tell the world this is between you and God this morning. Pastor Jer, lead us. If you don't need to respond, then be a worshiper this morning. Be a worshiper. Could I get everybody to bow their heads for just a moment? Close your eyes. Just listen. Is there anyone here this morning would say, Pastor Barry, I wasn't comfortable coming this altar, but I should have. And I'd like you to pray for me this morning and pray for me this week. I am struggling with boundaries, struggling to keep my feet planted, and I need God to step in and help me. If you're here this morning and that's you, would you just slip your hand up in the air, hold it there for a moment, then right back down. Several hands. Thank you. Father, I pray over each individual that lifted a hand this morning. God, I ask you to encourage them and strengthen them, connect them to the truth of your word, and God, let your Holy Spirit continue to deal with them, God, and help them, strengthen them, and guide them. And Lord, this is my prayer as well. Help them to connect with somebody, a leader, a staff member, somebody, God, that can help them navigate this life they're living. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for your glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Enjoy your Memorial Day.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you're looking for a church home or are interested in what God is doing through Souls Harbor, visit us at www.soulsharborag.com. If you have an encouraging story of what God has done in your life through these podcasts, please share it with us at sharbor@indy.rr.com.